Welcome. Welcome to our class. Sorry, I just had a moment, a technical moment. I have them all day long. Okay, this is number 5 in our Hosea class, and it's actually number 1 in our discussions on Lo Ruhamah. So, how many people enjoyed last week's generalized, you know, did it help clear things up just a little bit as far as where we're going and the templates we're working with? Okay. I hope so. Because today we are going to continue to really dig into the Word of God, and some of the concepts may be a little challenging, but just remember, we're not looking for information. We're trying to hear from the Holy Spirit, who wants to share the heart of Jesus with us, but in living ways. So we're not trying to learn, we're trying to know Him intimately. Only the Holy Spirit can bring us into that knowledge. It's a knowing that only comes through union. It only happens by grace. These things are important because it helps position our hearts towards the Lord instead of towards earning and learning and trying to figure something out, which is just a constant frustration. But because we're joined to Jesus, because we're married, like Gomer was to Hosea, we have access in to all that He is in His person. And that access comes through grace. It happens because of union. And it can only be communicated by the Spirit that is in that person. And the Holy Spirit is the only person who has been one with God. He is God, and He has searched the depths of God and brings that to us. We hear that in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So we want to put our confidence not in our brains, not in our study abilities, not in our understandings, because that's not where it's at. Our confidence is in the Holy Spirit. Our confidence is in the Lord. So let's begin this class just by prayer, and then may we just get in the zone, get in the Holy Spirit zone where our hearts are towards the Lord. Amen. Father, thank You for an opportunity to gather at Your feet, to be unto You a bride, to separate ourselves like Mary did, to hear the word and let it flow down from the head into the body, Father, just like the ointment on Aaron's beard, Father, that it would just reach us right where we're at, that though we're in this earth and circumstances and such, that we are Your body, Lord, and what is true in You is to flow into us, is to be true in us, that we would know You and we would show You, that we would comprehend, conceive, and bring forth of You. Lord, this is Your desire, and this is why You've brought us into union, through Your death, so we could have this relationship. Father, thank You for giving us these verses, these scriptures, these blood-soaked pages full of Your heart that testify of Jesus, testify of Christ crucified, of Jezreel, Lord, the one we're married to. Father, we thank You that there are things in Your heart that You want to gather us into for such a time as this. Lord, help us to focus our hearts, to turn our hearts, to be with You during these times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, everybody, turn to chapter 1 in your Bibles, chapter 1 of Hosea. You're probably already there, but we do want to let the scriptures be our guide and let the Word of God speak. We come under the authority of the Word. I, in my own self, have nothing. I am not one to be listened to, but I come under the authority of the Word of God, and it's the Word of God that we want to submit ourselves to, and not even any man's personal interpretation, but what God reveals, what the Spirit declares, what the Lord breaks open to us in His Word. That is what we are gathering unto. We are gathering unto Jesus. All right, so we're going to recap just a little bit, and then we're going to go into some specifics about Lo Ruhamah, the second child from Hosea and Gomer's union. Okay, let's look at the last verse in chapter 1. And Lindsay, would you mind turning those overhead lights down just a tiny bit? Not a lot, just a little. They do help me to see. Okay, and that's going to be Hosea chapter 1, actually verse 11, which is my I personally consider chapter 11, the last verse of Hosea chapter 1. Now that is very personal, and I'll discuss a little bit why I feel that way later in the class. But let's read chapter 1, verse 11. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Okay? So this is kind of a summation verse of chapter 1, and it's declaring this amazing ingathering of Israel and Judah up under the headship of Christ, and it is truly a consummation of all that, you know, in a sense, the death of Christ works in his people. And it's beautiful. But here at the end of this verse, we hear, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Therefore, this summation verse of chapter 1, which encapsulates all that was in chapter 1, not just the first son that Gomer bore named Jezreel, but all three children. All of that is called the day of Jezreel. Okay, and so why are we mentioning that now? Because Jezreel, even though it is the name of the first son, the day of Jezreel, as defined in this verse, is defining all the children. It's defining the first son, Jezreel. It's defining the second daughter, Lo Ruhamah. And it's defining the third son, or the second son and the third child, Lo Ami. Okay, so Jezreel is a template that, or an understanding of God, that all the three children are to be known in. Okay, even though only one child bore the name Jezreel, all three of the children can be comprehended through the spirit and understanding of Jezreel. Who remembers what Jezreel represents from our last class and other classes we've had? God will sow. The sown God, which I love that, the sown God, because it comes from two Hebrew root words that means God will sow and Almighty. And if you put the Almighty sown, you've got Christ crucified. Not just Christ the Almighty, but Christ the Almighty sown, crucified. So we've got Christ crucified. We've got the comprehension of sowing or scattering. These are things that we can begin to recall to our remembrance as we're looking at the application of the great day of Jezreel, found in specific ways in each conception and in each manifestation of Christ through all the three children. Okay? Remember, there's a progression to the conceptions. We talked about that last week. What does that mean? There's a progression to Gomer's conceptions. Anybody? I know there's probably 10 people on Skype raising their hands right now, so I will answer for you. Yes, I can hear you in my heart. That you can't conceive of what Lo Ruhamah is going to represent in regards to a believer maturing in her or his union with Christ until you've conceived of your death with Christ. And that's what Jezreel represented. We spent a lot of time on that last week. So if that doesn't make sense to you, I just ask you to review our lesson from last week and even the week before. But once that comprehension has come to your heart, that conception and that manifestation in your walk that I am dead with Christ. When Christ died. I was sown into his death. It's not something that I made happen like Jehu tried to do. It's something that God made happen when he crucified his son and me in him. Okay, so Paul said it, I am crucified with Christ, not I crucified myself for Christ. Okay, Jehu would have to say, I tried to crucify everything bad for Jesus. I didn't get to myself, but that's another issue. Whereas Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, because I couldn't do it, right? Okay, so that's the first conception, that's the first son. But after that time where you've entered into your union with Christ into his death, there's going to come a time where now you're wanting to come up in your walk in union with Christ. And that will define how you live daily, how you proceed. What is your way? Now, we're still thinking about God in terms of Jezreel, the sown God, crucified Christ. And we're still thinking in terms of being a wife, you know, a wife to Hosea, a wife to Jezreel, a wife to Jehovah, okay? We're staying in the realm of union. We're staying in the realm that these verses are coming, giving us a shadow of. It's still in the realm of marriage, if you will, union into Christ. Okay, so we've been united with him into death, and that old man has been crucified, and now we're still in union with Christ, and we're walking out our daily lives, right? We're his. We're born again. We've been crucified with him. But how do we live? How do we respond? What is our way? Is that emanating from our marriage, if you will, our union into Christ crucified? Or even though we belong to him, even though the cross is real, has it affected our walk? Okay, now just take a moment. Does that make sense to you in regards to what would be a natural progression in your relationship with Jesus? You know, would it not be a natural progression in maturity into Christ that we would first have to know we're dead with him, or everything would be on the basis of our lives, our righteousness, our works, our goodness, our badness, us? But if the first conception we have after being united to Christ through new birth is that we were crucified with him, so that it's no longer us as the source, it's no longer our sins that we're trying to atone for, but he atoned for them through death. It's no longer our goodness we're trying to perfect, but we are dead. It's no longer I, and it's his righteousness. It's the fruit of his spirit that comes through us. There's that beginning comprehension that we have to let it be him. He took the old away so that it could be him as the new in us. So even though it may make sense to us that, yeah, I am crucified with Christ, it's no longer I was, when he was sown, I was sown in him. His death is my death. Jezreel has been conceived of in my heart to some degree. But once we start walking, has anyone ever experienced, why am I acting this way in my walk, in my daily life? Okay, Lindsay said this morning. Right? Where is Jezreel in my walk? I know he died as me. He truly did that, and I conceive of that, and I receive of that, and I bear that in my heart, right? But when I get up to go to work, I have not conceived of Jezreel in my walk. I've conceived of Jezreel in my death. That it can't be me, that he had to do the work. I couldn't crucify myself. He put the old man to death. I am crucified. No longer can it be me. It must be him. But in my walk, Jezreel, my husband, the one I'm united to, if you will, the one who is my everything, there's no conception of him in my walk. There's no union with him in my walk. It's pretty much the old still, right? So there's a natural progression in a believer's walk and their union and growth in maturing, in comprehending, in maturing in the sense of partaking of Christ in union as he fills every part of our existence, as our life, our fullness, our way, all in all, Christ is to us. And so this, to me, it's the next part of maturing, the next progressive embrace of Him and our union into Him. And we see that progression in the Word of God, which is the most important thing. Let the Scriptures speak to you. Go into them and ask the Lord. So we have the second child here. And it says in chapter 1 in verse 6 that Gomer conceived again and bore a daughter. Okay, let's look at that. Jezreel and Lo-Ami are both sons, okay? Baby boys, which represent Christ, the Son of God. But Lo-Ruhamah is a daughter. Now, that slipped through the cracks when I first studied Hosea. I thought, oh, well, she had obviously three sons, whatever. It all represents, you know. And then I, as I searched the Scriptures more diligently, I realized, wait a second, Lo-Ruhamah is a baby girl. Lo-Ruhamah is not a son. Now, why? I said, why? You know, God is not random. This is His word declaring His son. There's a reason Lo-Ruhamah is a girl and not a boy. I said, Lord, why? And He said, because Lo-Ruhamah has to do with the bride. You know, Jezreel is Christ crucified for us and as us, that first son, that His death is our death. And Lo-Ami is Christ crucified in us in a wonderful way we haven't discussed yet. But Lo-Ruhamah is still like, here I am, your unconformed bride that doesn't know you in my walk yet, right? It's still me. And so Lo-Ruhamah is dealing with the vessel that has yet to be conformed to the Son. The Son is not yet formed in her, in this stage of her maturity. Yes, she is crucified with Christ. Yes, His death is her death. But she is not conformed to her, the image of the Son in her walk and in her way. And so it's not the Son in her yet. So she's going to be put into a process where she will go through some things for the Son to be formed in her, and that she will mature in union into Christ crucified, or Jezreel, in her way, in her walk, and how she lives her daily life. Are you guys with me so far? Okay. Now, Lo-Ruhamah means unpitied. Okay, let me ask you this. I'm going to try to make this real practical and just lay out the basic template so when we get to the heart stuff, you can just enjoy, right? Really swim in it with your heart. But Lo-Ruhamah means unpitied. And here we are, the believer. We are awakened to the reality. We conceive of the reality that I am dead with Christ. And we embrace that. We bring forth from that. That's ours now in our hearts and in our lives. But, and we walk with that. You know, hey, man, it's no longer I, it's Christ. When Jesus died, I died. I know that I'm dead. I've seen it by the Lord. It's true. I hold on to it through everything. And then we, you know, in our daily walk, release attitudes and reactions and the stinky flesh and its ways comes out and how we proceed. And we go, God, I'm dead. I'm dead with Christ. So you know what? It just doesn't matter how I walk. All this stinky flesh and these attitudes that emanate from my old ways, separate from the Lamb. God goes, uh-uh, no mercy. No pity. No pity on your flesh. I don't want a bride that just runs around saying, I'm dead with Christ, and then releases everything but Jesus all over the world. Everyone she touches, everything she does, it's anything but the spirit and nature of the Lamb through her. So He goes, you're mine. Yes, you are sown into the death of my Son. Yes, we are one. Hosea didn't divorce Gomer because she had to bring forth Lo-Ruhamah. He gathered her into a deeper comprehension of her union with Christ. But when I say gather, I don't think that's the right word, because he's going to scatter. Lo-Ruhamah is going to be scattered. Okay? But this is going to happen to every believer that continues on in their union with Christ. You'll come to this place where it will be like, Lord, are you mad at me? Lord, give me a break. and you're going to try to snuggle up under the wing of Jesus and you know, sweet talk your way into the throne room to get the favor of God and the pity of God and the mercy of God. And he's just going to be like, no, no mercy on that. No pity. Like, God, do you hate me? Why won't you answer me? Why won't you just give me a break? Give me a sense of your presence. Give me a sense of your pleasure. Show me a sign. Give me some love. And he's like, no, I'm going to give you no mercy and unpitied. I don't get it, Lord. That is not my son in you. I am not pleased if it's not my son. I don't have pity on your flesh. I crucified your flesh. I didn't say, I'll let it slip through because you comprehend Jezreel. Your flesh it didn't slip through the cross, and it isn't going to slip through in your walk in my eyes. I'm going to deal with you. I am going to deal with that is not my son in you. Yes, you are crucified with Christ. Yes, you are mine. But that is not me, and that is not my son, and that is not acceptable. And I am going to deal with that without mercy and without pity, because it is judged in my son on the cross. So we might go, but Lord, it looks so good. It seems so right. It's how everybody else does it. He goes, if you're going to stay close to my heart, you're going to feel my displeasure, because that is not my son. That is not the way my son is. That is not my son's life through you. That is not the way of Jezreel. That is not the way of Christ crucified. That is not the spirit of the Lamb. That is not acceptable. And he starts dealing with us in our walk. But can you see how confused you'd be if you conceived of Jezreel and you thought that was the whole thing? Woo, Jezreel! I can live however I want. God loves me all the time, no matter what I do, no matter how I act. I'm loved, I'm accepted, I'm dead. Well, it's true. You are loved in Christ. You are accepted in the Beloved. You are dead in his death, but your flesh is never accepted. Your flesh is never okay. Your flesh is never pitied. God has no mercy on the flesh. If he had mercy on your flesh, why would he crucify his only beloved son when he became one with your flesh? If he was going to ever show mercy on your flesh, it would have been at Calvary when his son became sin and he would not have forsaken him. So if he's not going to show mercy to his own beloved, spotless lamb on the cross, good luck with him showing you mercy in your walk when you're trying to let your flesh slip through the cracks. He's not going to do it. And it's not personal. There's two persons in his heart, the old man that he has rejected and crucified, and the person of his son and all those in him. And that's it. It's not like, oh, God, but what about me? I'm the special one. We've got the old man, Jesus, and Kelly. Kelly is the old man. And she's crucified, and then Kelly's a vessel of the Son. It's either a lamb or a goat. Right? You're either in one man, the rejected man, or the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man raised with the body. But it is Jesus or it is something that's rejected. And there is no gray area between that. And so she's awakening to this, and he's dealing with her in this area. Now, we're going to spend more than one class on Lo Ruhamah, because this is a powerful and intense comprehension and a conception of our union into Christ. But I want to make sure that we are laying a good, solid groundwork before we start going into the more intimate details, because if we're not, it won't hit home as deep. So far, so good? Okay, let's read Hosea 1:6 again. And she conceived again and bore a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Lo Ruhamah, for I will have no mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. This is the scattering of Jezreel. Does anybody remember our Romans class from last week? This is that. This is the same ancient path. That's all I'll say for now, but it is the exact same thing that was shared. Okay? So this is the time when Israel is scattered. Now, before Judah, the southern tribes, were taken into captivity in Babylon, which is what we're studying in Romans class, which is what much of Jeremiah and most of the major prophets deal with, years and years and years before the southern tribes of Judah were sown into captivity, the ten northern tribes of Israel, which is whom Hosea is prophesying to, they were scattered into captivity in Assyria. Okay? So we're dealing with the Assyrian captivity in the book of Hosea, because it's talking about them being utterly taken away, the house of Israel. It's talking about the house of Israel's captivity, which happened before the Chaldean captivity. It happened in Assyria, not in Babylon. It happened to the ten northern tribes of Israel, not the tribes of Judah, the southern tribes. Okay? It happened years before the Babylonian captivity. So part of the dealing of Lo Ruhamah is that she is scattered into captivity. Okay? She is removed with purpose, and this is what's important to understand. The punishment for her sin came on the head of Jesus. He bore the punishment for her ways. He bore the punishment on the cross for her sins. So God utterly taking Lo Ruhamah away, God sending Israel into captivity in Assyria, God scattering her out of the land at that time, was not punishment for her sin. Why would it be important for us to understand that in our own lives? Because when God starts dealing with you really strongly, chastising you, he's not punishing you for your sin. He's dealing with you as sons. For every son that the Father receives, he scourges first, that they might be partakers of his holiness and not bastards. We feel rejected when God starts dealing with our flesh in this way, and we're scattered, and we're not pitied, and he's not having mercy on us, and we're in this time period of chastisement, and the Lord is very firm. He's not making provision for our flesh. And we start thinking he's rejected me. We start thinking he doesn't want me anymore. We start thinking I'm not one of his children anymore. I am under punishment. I'm under curse. I'm under wrath. Well, if you think those things, you're under the old covenant. But in the new covenant, Jesus died, so you would never have to be dealt with in that manner again. So if God is not pitying you now, if God is showing you no mercy now, if God is chastising you now, if God is scattering you now, it's with the purpose of forming Christ in you, in your ways. It's with the purpose of drawing you into who he really is. This is profound. There is so much here. There is so much here. We're just laying basic principles right now. There is so much here. And it will coincide enormously with the Romans class. Okay, so in this sense, well, let's read on to verse 7. Hosea chapter 1, verse 7. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Okay. Now, Judah was also scattered into captivity in the Babylonian. So this can't be saying, I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. They're not going to go into captivity, because they do go into captivity. Okay, so why is it saying, I will have mercy upon the house of Judah? It's what we learned in Romans class. It's the same ancient path. You guys ready?
Yes.
Where is Jerusalem?
In Judah.
I will save them by the Lord their God. Who is the Lord their God? Christ crucified. How does Christ crucified bring salvation? Not by bow, not by sword, not by battle, not by horse, not by horseman, but by dying the death of a criminal on the cross. I will save them by Jezreel. I will save them by the wisdom of God, a crucified, slaughtered lamb, my son. I will have mercy upon my son, my crucified son, the only one I have mercy. Let's just stop right there. Lo Ruhama, a daughter, not my son, not Christ formed in her yet. I'm not going to have mercy on you. Lo Ruhama means no mercy, no pity. Lo Ruhama is the only daughter. It's not Christ. It's not the son formed in her yet. Yes, she's married, but it's not Christ formed. It's still her. She says, I'm not going to have any mercy on you in the sense of that which is not my son formed in you. I did have mercy when I sowed you into my death and made you one with my son, but that's Jezreel. You've already conceived of that. This is a new progression of knowing me in a deeper way. Keep the old, let it be a foundation, but we're continuing in knowing him. Okay, so if Jezreel, if Lo Ruhama means no pity because it's her, a daughter, us, not Christ formed yet, in our ways. If Lo Ruhama means no pity, and yet Judah means, okay, if Lo Ruhama means no mercy, and yet God says, I will show mercy to Judah, he has to be talking about his son. Because he has mercy upon his son, and he doesn't have mercy upon his flesh. Okay, we experienced tremendous mercy when we were accepted in the death of Christ, and all of our sins were atoned for, and all the penalty of death that we earned by our sins was forgiven because Jesus was punished. God had tremendous mercy upon us, but that was because we were in his son. We were in the crucified. We were in his death. His death was our death. He was giving us mercy because he was beholding us in Christ and in his death. That's established. That foundation is laid. Now we're talking about our walk and the fruit of our walk. We're not talking about our acceptance in Christ now. That's Jezreel. We're talking about the things we produce daily, our attitudes, our responses. And when it's not Christ, it's us, he says, I don't have pity on that. I have pity that you're in my son. I see you in Christ based on, the fruit of your reactions, that's not coming from union with Christ crucified. The way you responded, the way you walk, that isn't coming out of union into him and his spirit and his way. It's still you, still your flesh. Amen? And I don't have pity on that. But I will have mercy on the house of Judah because that represents Christ crucified. Jerusalem being plowed under, Jerusalem going into death, and everyone who was scattered gathering back into that Christ crucified in their ways. That's a lot. I know that's a lot. Nobody's going to ever figure that out with their mind. So I'm just throwing out seeds, right? But salvation comes in the house of Judah, in the place of Jerusalem, where the slain lamb in his ways on this altar, ever giving, ever consumed, ever offering up the savor, the holocaust, the burnt offering, the sweet savor, the crucified God, the sown God, Jezreel, ever ascending from that place in the earth. It happened to be in Judah. There will be mercy there. There will be salvation there, but it won't come from sword or bow. It will come from altar and slain lamb. Judah, the people, went into captivity just like Israel, the people, went into captivity, and God had no mercy on the Judeans' flesh, and God has no mercy on the Israelites' flesh. God has no mercy on anything outside of his son, but he has mercy on us when we're sown into his son's death. You see how important it is to divide out the lines? So he scatters them, just like he will in years to come at this time scatter Judah. But there is a place, there is a person. There is a reality that's meant to be embraced in the earth where God in his way is known, where God in his way is gathered to, where God in his way is united back into as a bride. That way is found where? Remember Sunday service? At the altar. Where is the altar in Jerusalem? In the temple. Amen. The altar is the place of the Lamb. That's who she's married to, the sown God, the crucified Christ. She needs to not just come to know him in the fact that she was sown into his death, but she needs to come to know him in the way she lives her life, in the spirit she responds through, in the principle of his nature and within her, in her daily walk. That's a whole new conception out from union into him. That's a whole new birthing of his life through her. That's a whole new time period of conformity where she has to enter in this way to who she is in him and who he will be in her. Union, I and you, you and me and I and you. Okay? And it takes time, Lo Ruhama. It takes time. Okay. I've covered one page of my notes here. Y'all kind of with me so far? Okay. Okay, and I believe, and this is just me, I read it in different Bibles that I don't have any markings on, and I come to the same conclusion every time. I can't say this is the Lord at all. This may just be pure Kelly, but in my humble and not important opinion, I have strong sense that the possibility is that chapter 2 of Hosea, verse 1, is actually the last verse of chapter 1. I know I shouldn't say that. I know people put the verses in, you know. The Spirit inspired the words, but I don't know how the chapters and verses were divided. But I would like to say that chapter 2, verse 1, is the very last sentence of the whole thought of chapter 1. Because it says, "Say unto your brethren, Ami, my people, and to your sisters, Ruhama, having received mercy." You know, to me, that's the end of the day of Jezreel. Now you're my people. Now you've received mercy because you've come into union with my son in this way. Because the next sentence, which would be chapter 2, verse 2, says, "Contend with your mother." To me, contend with your mother is a brand new topic. It's a brand new chapter. It's a brand new dealing and focus of God. Okay, so that is my reasoning, but in the way that I have seen Jesus in these chapters, it tends to very much flow with that definition. You need to make that decision on your own. That's, you know, that's yours to agree with or to disagree with, and either way is totally fine with me. But in chapter 2, we have a brand new dealing. In chapter 1, we started with the intimacy of one husband and one wife in a type and shadow of Christ in his church. Okay? The husband was the prophet Hosea. The wife was Gomer the harlot. And we watched the beauty of their marriage evolve as she continued to receive his word, to conceive of his word, and to bring forth after his spirit. And we see this in the progression of their three children. And we see the consummation of that in the great day of Jezreel and the fruit therein. Okay, which we just read in the last verses, the last verse of chapter 1 and the first verse of chapter 2. Okay, but now I think we're dealing, beginning with chapter 2, verse 2, with a whole new kind of template upon which we're going to see God dealing with his bride. And specifically, chapter 2 is going to be dealing with, for almost three-fourths of the chapter, Lo Ruhama. So we're going to really, really drink deeply from chapter 2 this week, next week, maybe the week after. We'll just see how the Spirit moves. But to really begin to understand chapter 2 in the comprehension of Lo Ruhama, it's important that what I've just said, the very basic principles of where we're leading, how we're coming to this comprehension of Lo Ruhama makes sense. I know it's boring stuff. It's like you're preparing the stage for what God wants to really communicate from his heart at the end. But if we don't lay the framework for this house, we'll never be able to build it, and you'll never be able to enter into the beauty of it. So I'm going to just check real quickly. Are you okay so far? Okay, I'm proud of y'all. Good job. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Good job, Holy Spirit. Okay. So let's read this chapter 2, verse 2. "Contend with your mother. Contend, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband." Stop right there. We're just probably going to stay on that half sentence for the rest of this class. "Contend with your mother, contend." Okay, we stop right there. Let's just talk about contend. One Bible called the word contend a divine pleading of God. Now, God is not dealing with the people of Israel as sinners, but as bride. It's always bride. It never changes. It's always in the intimacy of you are mine. Okay? No matter how much he's not pitying her flesh, he's always in the intimacy of you are mine. Okay? His love never changes. Never. We're the ones who get freaked out because he's chastising us because we're in the season of Lo Ruhama and we don't understand it. And we think we're in a different season and he's not pitying and he's chastising and we think now he doesn't love me. But the very fact that you're in Lo Ruhama shows that you're his and he's trying to bring you into conception and into fruitfulness in a greater measure. But he's got to deal with you like his son. He doesn't, you're a bastard. You're not functioning as bride. You're not in the spirit of the marriage. You're not in the spirit of the family. How cruel would it be for him not to deal with you as strong as he needed to, with all of the passion in his heart, to bring you into oneness with him in a very real way so it affects your walk, so you're really together in oneness every day, all day, in the little and the big things. Don't you think that's God's passion at work in his relating to you? It's definitely not his rejection. His rejection is if he just lets your flesh go by itself and never addresses it or blesses it or tells you it's okay when it's making him sick and he's not wanting anything to do with it. That would so not be love, even though our flesh would say, oh, he's so nice. I don't think so. Where's the oneness in that? So contend with your mother. Mother, in these verses, has to do, many scholars believe this. There's many verses that would show this forth as you follow through the context, that mother is the house of Israel. I believe in that view of this in this verse. Now, some scholars say mother is, you know, we've got these three kids going, Gomer, be better, you know, dad's mad, won't you shape up, mom? You know, that we've got three kids begging their mother to quit being a harlot. We've got Jezreel, Lo Ruhama, and Lo Ami begging Gomer to be not a harlot. Okay, and that is in a lot of translations of these scriptures. I don't agree with that, but I'm just me. Nobody to be listened to. You have to come to the Word of God and to your father and make your own opinion. But in my opinion, I believe that the mother is Israel, the people of Israel, and that this chapter and this prophecy now moves to a greater audience. It's going now from the picture of one husband, one wife, and their three children to all the people of Israel as the people of God, the bride of Jehovah, right? And it's dealing on that level, okay? It makes a difference because things can get confusing if you don't know what template you feel God is dealing with. That's why we search the scriptures daily and we ask the Lord to help us rightly divide the word. It's not splitting hairs. It's Christ being revealed in truth or in our own personal interpretation of the word, which means nothing if it's not God's interpretation of his son in those scriptures. Okay, so contend with your mother, I believe that is contention with the people of Israel as a whole. Okay, not Gomer specifically. That was last chapter. All right, so we've got Hosea prophesying now, and God is saying, contend with your mother. Contend, for she is not my wife. Okay, we're going to start with the word contend. With the first baby, Jezreel, we had Jehu. And Jehu was just like, what are you doing, dude? Your zeal cannot crucify your flesh or anyone else's. Jehu, I don't know what you... I'm not going to contend with you because obviously you'll never change your mind. So I'm just going to have to go to the mind. I'm never going to convince the carnal mind to agree with the spirit. Jehu's kind of like the flesh that just wars against the spirit and only understands doing things carnally in his own flesh, in his own strength. So I'm not really going to try to convince Jehu or the carnal mind or the mind of the flesh to be the spirit. I'm just going to say no, and I'm going to join with the Lord in his word, in his way. Okay, so I'm not going to be contending with with Jehu and that first child. That Jehu was a part of that conception. Okay. But with Lo Ruhama, I'm going to need to contend with her. And this is what the contention is. You're not his wife. He's not your husband. Does that mean I'm not in Christ? Does that mean when he died, I didn't die? No, that's just real. That's supposed to be established. That doesn't change. But in your way, how you walk, how you proceed, the way of the fruit you bring forth from the unions you have, they're not coming from union with Christ crucified. They're coming from other lovers. They're coming from other ways. They're coming from foreign, carnal, uncircumcised ways, ways of the old, ways of the flesh. In your walk, you're not walking like the Lamb's wife. And he is not your source. He is not the vine you're drawing your source from. He is not the husband from which you bring forth your fruit. You've got all kinds of other lovers that you go to bring forth fruit. But she doesn't believe that at first. She's like, no, I belong to Hosea. No, I belong to God. No, I am his people. We are his people. We are called by his name. We are his priests. We are his prophets. We are his ministers. We minister in the temple. We do everything according to the things he told us to do. Everything's fine. We're already belonging to him, so no matter what we do or how we do it, if we just kind of call it him, it's okay. God's like, Hosea, contend. Plead with her. Say, you have forsaken me in your daily walk. You know it's not coming out from me. I am not your way. I am not your source. You are not coming to me as a wife, drawing from my mind, drawing from my spirit, being a vessel of my dying, of my mind, of my way, of my life. Contend with her. That's why she's been scattered to Assyria. That's why I'm chastising her. That's why I'm not having pity on her. That's why I'm not showing mercy to these children she's bringing. For their mother hath played the harlot. She has conceived of her children shamefully. For she has said, I will go after my lovers. Give me my bread and my water. I will not have mercy on her children because they are children of harlotry. Can you hear that? I will not have mercy on Lo Ruhamah's babies because she did not bring them forth from union with Christ crucified. No mercy, no pity. They're children of harlotry. They've come from another way than the way of the cross. They've come from another mind than the mind of Christ. They've come through another method than the method of Christ crucified. And I will not have pity on them. She is not acting like a wife to the Lamb. She is not acting like I'm her husband. Yes, she's in Christ. Yes, my death bought her and atoned for her. But she doesn't walk with me. She doesn't draw from me. She doesn't live in union with me in her ways. And that fruit is not the fruit of Christ crucified. It didn't come from the altar. It came from Babel. It came from horsemen and strength and people building things for God. And it didn't come through union on the altar with the Lamb of God. It's another form of ascension. It's another way of fruit bearing. It's another God. It's another gospel. It's another Jesus. And I have betrothed her as a chaste virgin unto me. But I am afraid lest the enemy beguile her like the serpent beguiled Eve. She has forsaken me. Contend with her. She doesn't see it. She doesn't believe it. She thinks she's all right. She thinks that fruit's okay. She doesn't even comprehend it's another husband, other lovers, other ways, other methods of fruitfulness. She worships Baal, the fertility god of the Canaanites, and she thinks it's Christianity. It's God. She doesn't know me. She has no clue who I am. I'm a crucified Christ. She has no clue of my way. She doesn't even know. Contend with her. Tell her she's not acting like my wife and I'm not her husband in these things. Divine pleadings. Because the people don't know their God and they're destroyed for lack of knowledge. Not head knowledge, knowing like a husband and a wife are supposed to know each other. They don't know him. They don't know they're married to a lamb and that his way is on the altar. And they keep trying to bring forth fruit in every other place but him. High places all over Israel. Do you think that's true in our lives? In the church? Not the church, this denomination, that building. I'm talking about the church, the body and bride of Jesus. That we all need more of him formed in us. Remember, he's not condemning. He's not upset in the sense of your sin. He's pleading as a husband to the woman he loves. He's contending with his wife. He's not picking at if you're right and who's wrong and we're better and you're worse. My God, this is a husband groping. This is a husband brokenhearted on the floor crying out to the woman he loves, not going, you're right, you're wrong, we're better, you're worse. Gosh, that's humans down here. This is God contending with his bride. That's all that matters. Beyond that, it's God's business. Not my brother, not my sister. It's just me I'm worried about. Who cares? Everyone else will stand before God and they will rise or fall according to their own master. It's not my place to judge. It's about me and my relationship with Jesus, and that's all that matters. Go beyond that, and I've left him, and I'm into issues now. I'm into side issues, and my heart is no longer towards the Lord, so how can that veil ever be rent? I need to see him. I need that veil rent. I need to know who my husband is and the power of the Holy Spirit that no man can teach, only God can reveal. And that isn't going to happen unless I say, not my brother, not my sister, but I need to know you. I need to know you more. I need to know you in the power of your resurrection, in the fellowship of your sufferings, being made conformable unto your death, Lord. Paul said that at the end of his ministry. He wasn't talking about the people he was ministering needing to know him more. He said, I need to know you more. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know you. I hear the Spirit crying, calling, contending with divine pleadings that somebody would know me. Lo Ruhamah is important. That we conceive of Lo Ruhamah is important. We'll never, ever conceive of Lo Ami if we haven't conceived and brought forth the fruit of what God's trying to do in Lo Ruhamah. While we are in Babylon, while we are in Assyria, while we are being chastised, while God is scattering us in that sense, we need to know him. We need to cry out to him. We need to want to be open to why he's brokenhearted, what he needs, what is his way in us. Where can he reveal more of his son in us? How can he be our husband, our head, our life, our fullness? You know, it's always so much excuses. That's why he says, contend with her. She's going to have a gazillion excuses. She's going to have a gazillion reasons. And you know what? All that she's going to do is excuse herself right out of conceiving of Lo Ruhamah, which is going to keep her unable to ever bring forth Lo Ami. So she'll be mine, and she'll understand she's dead with me, but where's the fruit? Our acceptance isn't based on how much fruit we bring forth, but as a bride, I would love to give the Lord more fruit. I would love for my life to have fruit in the lives of others. But are my excuses when God is contending with me for the son to be formed in me going to prevent me from being that vessel of fruitfulness? Because I love my excuses more than I love being broken before God and allowing him to divide joint and marrow, divide soul from spirit, and bring forth his son. What excuse is greater than that? What is more valuable than Christ being formed in me at any cost, including my own undoing before God, my Father, and his throne of grace? We all have to come to that place. We all have to come to that. Gomer's name means completion, a harlot made complete because she stayed open and conceived even when it was difficult to receive. She comprehended it was done in love and not in rejection. We're going to look into Jeremiah. We're going to look into Ezekiel next week, and we're going to read chapters and letters and verses that God wrote to his scattered bride while she was in Babylon, and how much love was dripping in all those love letters, explaining to her, this is what I'm doing, Lo Ruhamah. This is why you're scattered, Lo Ruhamah. This is what's in my heart, Lo Ruhamah. Don't misunderstand me. Don't misappropriate this. Be with me in this. And you'll be gathered back into Judah, into Jerusalem, into the altar, into the crucified God, and you will begin to bring forth fruit unto God and unto the world. Oh, do I have divine purpose in this, Lo Ruhamah. You are not scattered unto rejection, but unto a greater increase. Have to know me. You have to trust me. You have to be with me. You have to conceive of what is in my heart in what I'm doing, or you'll miss me. And this is a big, huge, colossal miss. The preaching of the cross is the power of God to those who believe. But those who don't, they're going to perish. Does that mean they're not saved? No, it means they're going to perish in their walk. What is the preaching of the cross? Well, what do you think? Christ and him crucified, applied to us. No pity, no mercy on that which isn't Christ, but an increase through the cross, an increase through the dealing of God to bring his bride into conformity by the Spirit, appropriating and applying that death till all that is not him is removed so that all that is him can be filled, can be fulfilled through her, formed and filled and released as fruit, as the life of Jesus. Amen. You know, this is our calling. And these three steps that we see here in Hosea in the first and second and third chapter, they are an ancient path upon which we see over and over again in the Word of God, God wants to deal with his own, to bring her in, to bring her all the way in. How important is it that we comprehend these things? Well, you tell me. How important is it to you when God's contending with you because he wants you as a bride that knows him? It depends on your heart and your relationship with Jesus. You make that call. To me, it is mighty darn important. I am ready to be smitten, to be dealt with, to be shown up for what I am without excuse if I'm going to gain him in this way. You better believe it. It's worth it all. It's worth it all. So, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the love of God. We thank you for the cross of Christ. We thank you for the realness and the dailiness and the passion of it, Lord, that you don't let up on your own. You don't deal with them as if they're separate from you. You have the same passion, the same purpose as you had with your Son on Calvary. You're going to bring us into this Spirit. You're going to bring us into this fruitfulness. You're going to bring us into this family Spirit, and you're not going to let something else take its place. And you're not going to let us stop short if we want you all the way, God. You are passionate, and you plead with divine pleadings, with broken heart cries, contending with us that you're not going to pity what's not Christ-formed, but you are going to gather us all the way in if we just receive this conception of our union into Christ crucified. And oh, Lord, how precious this is, how powerful this is, how life-changing this is, how transforming it is for those who receive you in this way. It is not that, it's life, Lord. To those who believe, it is the power of God. Father, there's so much that was shared today and is being shared in all the classes and services. But may we hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, not what some person is saying. No matter who that person is, Lord, we want to hear your voice. We want to hear what the Spirit is saying. And we want to let all that we hear bear witness in one. So Holy Spirit, help us to comprehend what your heart is saying, what your Spirit is saying, that we can hear you and it can bear witness to our hearts. And in the Word of God, we can see it, Lord. We come to you in the Word. And we, as Bereans, search daily to see if these things be so or not. That's our responsibility, Lord, not our teachers. That's us and you daily seeking to see you and know you. So, Father, we ask that you'd have your way. We commend these things to you, and we give ourselves to press in for these conceptions that Christ might be formed. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, people on Skype, I'll be there in just about 1 second or so. And